In the first reading today, we listen to the 11th chapter of the Old Testament Book of Wisdom, which was being written about 200 years before the birth of Jesus. We don't tend to hear very much from the Book of Wisdom in the Sunday Mass. Often we only hear it at funerals. Chapter 3, the souls of the just are in the hand of God and their hope is full of immortality. But chapter 11 has some things that are very worthy for our reflection today, because the Book of Wisdom points out the immensity of God, that he is so much greater than his creation, but also the intensity of his love for all his creation. And he made a very important point. Wisdom said, God loves all that he has made. He loathes or hates nothing that he has created, for if he did not love it, he would not have made it. And if he's made it, he's going to love it forever and sustain it always. This is very important for us to realize, because some people don't feel God's love. Some people have never felt God's love. Some people are unwilling to share God's love. But when we realize that he who is the maker of all is also the lover of all, as wisdom calls him, O Lord and lover of souls, then surely we are his sons and daughters. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are meant to love God's creation as he does. We are meant to love God's creatures as he does. And wisdom describes that as not only a life-giving love, but also a forgiving love. It said he rebukes us little by little for our faults and calls us to repentance, and he wants us to be as forgiving of others as he has been of us. Zacchaeus could use a little forgiveness. In the town of Jericho 2,000 years ago, he was the most hated man in that whole community. Now, it's chapter 19 of Luke. In the next chapter, Jesus is going to enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The 1,000 days of his public ministry are coming to an end. And Jericho is the bookend of his ministry. It began there, and it's going to end there. It began there because it was outside of Jericho in the River Jordan that Jesus was baptized by his cousin John, and it was only then that he started working his miracles and preaching and teaching and announcing the kingdom of God. It was right after Jericho where he called the apostles to leave everything and follow him. And now, just before he goes up to the cross, he has time to call one more disciple to leave it all behind. And it was the least likely of candidates. Why is Zacchaeus hated? Not only because he's a tax collector in Jericho, but he is the chief tax collector of Jericho. And that means everybody else in that town, including other tax collectors, owed Zacchaeus money. They couldn't afford to pay these taxes. They had to pay for the upkeep of the local municipality. They had to pay taxes to Herod in Jerusalem. Then, of course, there were the dreaded taxes to Rome, because Israel and Judah were occupied territories for a century. But then there's always the fourth layer, the froth on the cup, the commission the tax collector gets to keep for himself. And he can take as much as he wants. And when you're the chief tax collector, you also get to collect the taxes from the other tax collectors and put a commission on that as well. So even though Zacchaeus is a very small man, he's a very wealthy man and a very despised man. But that doesn't stop him from thinking that he has just as much a right to see Jesus as anybody else does. Luke tells us he climbs the sycamore tree. That's about the only one a little man like Zacchaeus would be able to get into, because the trunk was very low and the branches very wide, so it'd be easy for him to get into it. But no sooner does he go up the tree than Jesus calls him out of it. He calls him by name. Zacchaeus, come down from there. I must come to your house today. Now remember, Jesus is one chapter away from the cross. That means he is being followed by all of his critics, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, the scholars of the law. They hated the tax collector just as much as your average man did, and they certainly don't like Zacchaeus, and they are highly insulted that Jesus would dare set foot into Zacchaeus' house. But whereas 1,000 days before at Jericho, people left everything to follow Jesus, Zacchaeus is willing to do the same. But he has a lot more to leave behind than the fishermen of Galilee. All of that wealth, all of those riches. And yet, without hesitation, and in an instant, Zacchaeus' life is completely transformed. What he spent so much time and attention working on and working toward is no longer his goal. He once wanted to become wealthy, now he wants to become a disciple. Not only is he willing to leave all of his wealth behind, but he's willing to pay back all the money that he has taken from all of those people of Jericho. And he's going to do more than that. In obedience to Jewish law, in the book of Numbers, chapter 5, verse 5, it said, if you had sinned against someone, you need to confess it to God, but you also need to make restitution to that person. You should give them back everything you took from them and another 20%. Book of Numbers, chapter 5, verse 5. Well, Zacchaeus isn't just prepared to give them the 20% on top of what he took. He said, I will pay back four times more. That meant 300% more on top of the 20%. Zacchaeus, now that he has found in Christ the treasure buried in a field, that pearl of great price, the money that he has been hoarding all throughout his adult life means nothing to him. He will give it all away and more besides, because he believes finally he's going to receive something greater in return, the chance to be forgiven and the chance to live again and forever, thanks to his faith in Jesus Christ. God calls each of us by name. Sometimes we spend so much time arguing with other people, disliking other people, judging other people, that we find a lot of Zacchaeuses in our midst. People that we don't love, so we assume God won't either. People we won't forgive, and we don't think God should either. But going back to wisdom, God hates no one. God loves everyone, and he's forgiving them little by little in us as well. He has chosen for each one of us sinners to overlook our faults and failings freely and frequently. He knows we're going to do it again. He knows what we're going to do before we do it, but he loves us anyway, and he loves us always. And since there is no limit to his mercy, and he's God and we are not, he believes there should be no limit to ours. That we should be looking for people like Zacchaeus out there to be reconciled with them and to let them know the love of God by the way we love, honor, serve, and forgive